welcome you to the Lighthouse Family Devotions, number 272, knocking on the door of the big 300 for the glory of God. And we thank all of our dear friends on Periscope, on Facebook Live, on Gospel Light House of Prayer, Gospel Light Society, and many other platforms, on Spreaker Live, a podcasting organization that allows us to speak live around the world. And we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor for making all of this possible, for even giving us the mind that we can do such things. And so, my beloved, let's get right on into the family devotional quote, as we have already sung a different song today. One of my favorite, blessed be the name of the Lord, no matter what happens, good or bad, we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Amen, somebody. John Newton said, happy is that family where the worship of God is constantly and conscientiously maintained. Such houses are temples in which the Lord dwells, and castles garrisoned by a divine power. I do not say that by honoring God in your house, you will wholly escape a share in the trials incident to the present uncertain state of things. But this I will confidently say, that the Lord will both honor and comfort those who thus honor him. Can somebody say amen real good? Join us in praying an ancient prayer with some changes for our modern times, called the Common Prayer. And it will mean something to you if you're mindful of what you're praying. In other words, if you're focusing on what you're saying to God. You can make the words of others your words. And I did this partly because I wanted my children to be exposed to the great prayers of ancient times that would spur them on, just like the Lord's Prayer, to pray effectively in their own words. And maybe this might help some of you, even as adults who don't pray that much yourself. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own, may I add, wicked hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. In other words, Lord, we have broken your commandments. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have procrastinated, and we have not done what we should have done. And we have sadly done those things which we ought not to have done. Holy Father God, have mercy upon us and forgive us. For there is no peace and joy in us because of our sins. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent. According to thy promises, declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. My beloved, please turn to the family verses, that is Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. And I hope that you do not have a family that you have to read this passage every day as we did for 30 years. But I was led of the Lord to do that, and it turned out to work well for me. But the family in many churches is in so much trouble and turmoil, you might want to take that up. And right now, we're taking basically one verse at a time and walking through what I call the family verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And I am a firm believer that if you don't do it God's way, do what? If you don't do marriage and family God's way, it's going to end up badly. It's not going to work. God is the originator of marriage. God is the maker of marriage. And he gives the instructions in his book on how marriage must work. And the only way it will work, your newfangled way, is not going to make it work. You must do it God's way. Everybody, the husband and the father, the wife and the mother, and the children, or it simply will not work. And these are the rules. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Now we're dealing with the husband. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, we see that this is not a feeling love. This is a choice love. This is a decision. And did you know that making a decision is way more powerful than a feeling? For your feelings come and go. You, dear sister, need a husband who has made up his mind that he's going to love you and stay with you and help you raise the children and do his part. It has nothing to do with his flighty emotions and his feelings, nor does it have anything to do with your emotions and feelings. It is a decision. It is a choice that husbands must make. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible, and I told you where it is written, so you can go and read it for yourself. But he expounds on this passage very deeply. And he says, husbands must see leadership or headship. Husbands must see headship in godly terms, not worldly terms. Worldly headship says, I am your head, so you take your orders from me and must do whatever I want. Godly headship says, I am your head, so I must care for you and serve you. Worldly submission says, you must submit to me. So here are the things I want you to do for me. Godly submission says, you must submit to me, so I am accountable before God for you, because I answer to God for you. I must care for you and serve you. This is not the height of romantic love as the world knows it. This isn't love based on looks, image, or the ability to be suave or cool. This is love expressed through sacrifice. Oftentimes, in the quote, oftentimes putting up with a whole lot of foolishness and unnecessary stuff, but yet still love with God's agape love. As I said yesterday, there are many men in the church who have a Christ-like spirit and attitude towards their wives and their children, and they have put up with a whole lot of garbage and a whole lot of unnecessary stuff expressing God's agape love for their wives and their children, and in particular their wives. And they have not said a mumbling word. They have the spirit of Christ, and they have the spirit of Mary's Joseph. And we thank God for these Christ-like men who hung in there and stayed in there and did what they had to do to make the marriage work without compromising the Word of God. And they are truly our unsung heroes in the church. Contrary to what most people do to men, many men get beat up when it's really they're not the ones who need the rebuking. You hear me, and you hear me well. Oftentimes it is a cantankerous, rebellious, stubborn, run to the roof wife that is to blame. And just because the man does not go running out lying on his wife or telling everybody what's going on does not mean that he is guilty. There are many Christ-like men who have done heroic things and got their children over onto the other side of the bridge of troubled waters by themselves. And nobody knows it because they have not said anything about it. But I'm going to tell the story for these men who have had to deal with, quite frankly, witches who are rebellious and stubborn and mean and watch this. And it's not because of the man not doing something he ought to be doing. That's not the reason. The Bible talks about good wives, virtuous women, who are extremely hard to find. In fact, very, very few, if any at all, according to the Bible. Even Solomon, who had multiple wives and concubines, said, "I find more bitter than death." We don't hear this because the church does not want to hear that. The church has propped up the woman as some kind of idol, like she's some kind of queen bee, that she has some kind of power over men. And we got pastors who have bought into this foolishness, constantly telling their men, "You need to listen to your wife now, because God will speak to your wife quicker than he'll speak to you." That's, in the words of my dad, quite frankly, excuse the expression, my dad said it, I didn't say it. He was Bishop Daniel White Jr. That is ass backwards. God is not going to make the man the head of the family and then speak to the woman to tell the man something. That's not going to happen. Does this mean the wife cannot give advice and put input and so forth? That's fine and dandy, particularly if you have a good wife who does her job otherwise. Her job is not to advise me. Her job, that's not her job. She got other things she needs to do. She needs to make sure she does those things well. And then I will see about her letting her advise me on certain things, and particularly things regarding the girls and other things regarding household things and so forth and so on. But as far as what I'm going to do in the ministry, where I'm going to preach at, whether or not God is calling me to Timbuktu, Africa, to live in a hut, and so forth, that no. And these are all lies to placate women, to appease women like they appease their little teenagers. And the more you feed these kind of rebellious and stubborn people, the more you give them what they want, the more they're going to take. And before you know it, they're ruling all over you. And then, Pastor, who lied to the man, they're ruling over you. And they're dictating policy. And whether or not you're going to build a building with pillow talk, and don't tell me it's not happening. It's happening across this country. You talk with the men about doing something, and they're 100% behind you, Pastor. Then they go do pillow talk with the woman. You gave power over the man, and she nixes it. Because you told her that God will speak through her to the husband. He must listen to her. God has a special pipeline of advice and wisdom through your wife, sir. And then you like it until God, in your words, God tells her to pull the whole family out of the church, which has happened across this country. Don't tell me it has not happened. It has happened. And we got most pastors today, most churches today are built upon the fragile not only fragile but false teaching that the woman has some kind of power, some kind of magic over the men, and they have got to feed that monster every week. Always with a wink, wink to the women. They say one thing, and they never preach on this. This is out the window. They don't preach on this at all. They don't touch this at all. They stay in the world of series on this, that, and other thing. But they don't touch on this. Because they know the church does not want to hear it. Women don't want to hear it. And the men don't want to hear it because they don't want conflict. Contrary to what people think, most men do not want conflict. They want peace. And most men sue for peace. My dad did it. I love my dad. He was a very loving man. But he loved us too much to the point of family destruction. That's why I'm on this. You can't tell me nothing about it, my friend. Anything contrary to what I'm telling you from the Word of God is not going to work. And it may have the appearance of working, but it's not going to work. And there's nothing going on at the house if this is not employed. You can throw away all of the books you read otherwise and read the Bible. Why revival tarries? Watch this. Dear friends, revival tarries for one big fat main reason. It is because we have hypocrisy, disobedience, rebelliousness, lies, and foolishness in the family. We are doing the family. See, listen to me very carefully. The reason why churches are dying and revival tarries, and it will forever tarry, is because we may be right on the issues. We may be right on our doctrine in evangelical so-called circles, fundamentalist circles, biblical circles. Or we talk a great game, but we have lied now for generations about the family and the role of the husband and the wife, and now even the children, to the point that everybody, like in the book of Judges, is doing what is right in their own sight in the family. And so you get a John the Baptist kind of fellow out in the wilderness saying, no, 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 this is what the Bible says. He's seen as strange because he refuses to compromise and join in with the other mess that's going on. And everybody knows it's a bunch of mess. The proof is in the pudding, beloved. Do you have peace in your home? Do you have real godly peace in your home? Do you have real godly joy in your home? How about this one? Where are your children? So did your newfound philosophy, your newfangled way work? Are your children serving God? Do they love God? Compromise will never work. Do it God's way, sir. Do it God's way, ma'am. And maybe your teenagers don't need to confess sin and repent. Maybe you do. And by the way, you cannot fool teenagers. You cannot fool children. And let me tell you somebody else you can't fool. You cannot fool certain people in the church. They can see right through you. You can best believe that. You cannot fool your children. They know what you're doing and what you're not doing. You cannot fool teenagers. Sir, you cannot fool your wife, and wife, you cannot fool your husband, and you cannot fool the true church of God. There are some saints who can look at you, and they know exactly what's going on. So we need, if we want true revival, but most of us don't. We like the status quo. But if we really want true revival, we must go back to the Bible and do it God's way. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your Holy Spirit would not give husbands and wives and children rest until they are lining up with your holy word, confessing their sins, repenting of their sins, turning from their evil ways, and in the home, and simply doing the family verses your way. Otherwise, revival will continue to tarry. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, our devotional Bible passage for today is Psalm 109, 26-31. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. if you have not had to pray that God would thwart the plans of your enemies, you will just keep on living. And you're going to need God to do that for you. Because strangely, you will have some enemies as a child of God. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, the psalmist pleads God's glory and the honor of his name, not according to his own merit, for he has none, but according to God's mercy. He concludes with the joy of faith. By the way, do you have the joy of faith in you? Or do you have voices, demonic voices, speaking to your mind to do evil? Are you really saved? Are you born again? Is it a joy to you to come before the Lord in the morning or at any time? Focus on the cameras. In assurance that his present conflicts would end in triumphs. How about that? Are you expecting God to give you the victory? We know you have the victory already through Christ. But in these particular strange things that are happening to you, all of a sudden your good running car is not running good anymore. All of a sudden, people who helped you in the past now are turning against you. All of a sudden, when you didn't struggle financially, things were just going swimmingly, zip, bam, boom, a few reversals, a few car accidents, a few this, a few, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you're surrounded by trouble. He concludes with the joy of faith in assurance that his present conflicts would end in triumphs. Some of you are so depressed, so defeated and disgusted, you act like as a child of God, even you claim to be, you act like there's no victory. There's no triumph. Look at the cameras. There's no victory. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. This is what happens to depressed people. This is what happens to people who start hearing demonic voices and start seeing demonic images. But they never see the light at the end of the tunnel. They never see victory. They never see triumph. I'm concerned about you if you're that way. I'm concerned about you if you can't see things working out as they always do. God has a way. And it may not be your way. He may not come when you think he ought to come, but he always comes and he shows up and he shows out. And everything you're suffering, God does not want you to throw a pity party for yourself. He wants you to endure it. He wants you to take that chastisement. He wants you to take that rebuke. He wants you to take that trial. He wants you to take that tribulation. And just like the donkey that was thrown down in a hole alive, they tried to bury him. Every time they threw dirt in, she would shake it off and then stomp it down. Before they knew it, the donkey was eye level with them. That's how you need to do trouble and tribulation and difficulty. Even the little girl Swift knows that. Shake it off. Stomp it down. Shake it off. Stomp it down. Keep getting up. Keep growing in God. And get to the point in your Christian life where you watch this, where you actually enjoy the trouble. What? Where you actually enjoy the tribulation. Say what? When you actually like the opposition. And you have this spirit of bring it on, whatever. God brought me through before. God will bring me through now. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait to see how God's going to stop my enemies. And I can't wait to rise to level ground, eyeball to eyeball, by shaking it off and stomping it down. Amen, somebody. Stop worrying and fretting. Stop going through your season of trial and temptation and tribulation and trouble and discipline all defeated and mad and glad and sad, and then want to shout the victory when God gives you a release. Don't do that. Have a smile on your face while you're going through. The devil can't stand that. The devil and the demons over there on the side. Now, man, I done tore his car up. I almost got him in foreclosure. His wife has told him to curse God and die. And he doesn't know how he's going to pay his electricity bill. And he applied for 10 jobs, and 12 jobs rejected him. Jobs he hadn't even applied for told him just not even, don't even come. And yet he's got a smile on his face. He has joy in his spirit and peace that passeth all understanding. What's wrong with this Negro here? You must understand, I use the word Negro for black and white folk. It's just a thing. What? The devil said, what? He can't even get his words out. What? Demons, what's going on? Y'all must not be applying much enough heat. Y'all need to put some hot sauce on this joker, man. He's grinning and smiling and singing. He just got through singing, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give it, the Lord take it. Where did this Negro come from? What, man, he would be, he should be, he's, if he's a normal Negro, he'd be down and out. Down and out. What are we going to do? And there's nothing to do with a Negro like that, who has the Lord in his life, in his soul, and he has peace that passeth all understanding. And get that word, all understanding. You can't even understand it. Joy unspeakable. You know the word of God is God's word because man can't talk like that. Shakespeare can't write that. Peace that passeth all understanding. What is that? What? Peace that passeth all understanding? Are you kidding me? Joy unspeakable? Back to the scriptures. Let all that suffered, nay, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him. Or back to the commentary on the scriptures. I want you to get that. Allow me to share that with you again. Let all that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him. Jesus unjustly put to death and now risen again is an advocate and intercessor for his people, ever ready to appear on their behalf against a corrupt world and the great accuser, Satan himself. Holy Father God in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for leading us to have these devotions, not only for our family, but for many other families. Even though we had a rough night traveling and also getting up late after getting some rest and not even enough. But Lord, we thank you for the richness of your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for the tribulations, the troubles, the temptations, the trials that we're facing right now. Because we also have great memory of the triumphs and the victories and the answers to prayer in the past. And how in the nick of time you have delivered us many times and have provided for us. Nobody in my family, seeing that I have been full-time as an evangelist without a pastorate for most of that time, where I get a sure salary every week, nobody in my family can ever say that you have not provided for us. For here it is now 30 years on the other side of many prayers and many trials and tribulations and troubles. And you heard our prayers by faith and worked divine miracles and caused us to survive to this point. And if you caused us to survive to this point with nobody working in our family, a secular job, and just me praying as an evangelist full-time and preaching your gospel oftentimes every day without any money, without any love offerings. Lord, help everyone in our family to remember the right hand of you, Lord, and the millions of blessings and answers to prayers that you have bestowed upon us, and all of the things you did for us that we didn't even pray for. And we should always give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for all of it is due your name. And we're not the only ones. There are millions more who should always give you the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, help us to do it. Amen. Now, beloved, let's pray for the estates, and you know what they are. So let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray that you would help us to pray in your church. Forgive us of our sins, of failing you, and not doing what we are supposed to do. And we pray that you would give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and insight, and discernment. And then, Lord, we pray for revival. Revive us again in the church. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for the government, based upon your holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for President Trump and his administration. We pray that you'll give these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight. We pray that you'll save their souls and fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them by your Holy Spirit, for we need a government led by you. And we pray these same prayers and requests for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Associate Director of Presidential Personnel, Jana C. Tona, all leaders of federal agencies, including the National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Christopher A. Hart, all state governors, including New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, all city mayors, including Corpus Christi, Texas Mayor Joe McComb, all members of Congress, including Oregon Senator Hatch and Ron Wyden, all law enforcement officials, including Anaheim, California Police Chief Raul Crezada, all military leaders, including General Robin Rond, Commander of Air Force Global Strike Command, and James Mad Dog Mattis. We pray for the leaders of nations around the world that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. We pray for Estonia's President Kersti Kaljulaid and Prime Minister Jüri Ratas. We pray for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel that houses the Jews, the foundation of the Christian faith, and Christians. And we pray for peace. And Holy Father God, we also pray for the citizens and the people of this nation and around the world. We pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. Bless the people with salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings. And Holy Father God, we know that today is going to be a tough day for many people, including us, and we pray that you would help us to get through it, help us to deal with what we need to deal with, and help us to handle what we need to handle. We also pray for the media, the traditional media, as well as the new media. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help the Christians to stand up for what is right in the world of the press. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help them not to make up news, but to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And now we have learned that there is something called the deep state. And we pray that you would, which is the swamp. And we pray that you would do away with this foolishness, this lying, this dishonesty, this deceit, this hypocrisy, and this phoniness. And we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also pray, and yes, the media is a part of it. And we pray for current events all around us. There are parents burying their children. The children went to school one day and did not come back. We pray for the comfort of the families and community affected by the deadly high school shooting, senseless shooting in Florida, which left 17 dead and 14 wounded. It's one thing to die, but to have your child die for no reason is just beyond being able to handle. And so we pray for those people that they would trust you, Lord Jesus, as Savior, and give them peace. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 71 people killed in a plane crash in Russia. We pray for the comfort of the families of the Westerville, Ohio police officers who were killed last weekend. And we pray for the family of the officer killed in Richardson, Texas, and we pray for the little girl killed in Dallas, I believe yesterday, in something that I thought was pretty much done with, a drive-by shooting. And so, Lord, comfort that family as only you can, be with them as only you can, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. And we pray for some of the hundreds of prayer requests that we have. We pray for Shaka, Please help her brother to stop drinking and help her not to be depressed. Please help them to get answers to why their father was killed. It's one thing for someone to die, but then to not know why is even worse. And we pray that you'll comfort this family. We pray for Dottie, for your divine intervention, protection, supernatural favor, and blessings for her family, for joy, happiness, clarity, and wisdom for her daughters and grandchildren in their education and careers. And Holy Father God, we pray for May. Please help her to get a full time job this year, if it is your will. Please save her daughter and her nieces and heal her aunt, mother, and husband. We pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray for Edward, Kanika, and Parika. Help them to grow in the faith. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Samuel. We pray for William. We pray for Josphat, that you will help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is The Heart of Worship, Part 4, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to say, a second barrier to total surrender is our pride. Allow me to say that again. A second big barrier to total surrender to God is, Rick Warren wouldn't say it this way, but I'm going to say it, our stinking pride. We don't want to admit that we're just creatures and not in charge of everything. And you know it's true. It is the oldest temptation. You'll be like God, the devil told Eve. That desire to have complete control. By the way, parents, this is why your teenagers are rebellious. By the way, parents, that's why your adult children won't listen to you. They want complete control. And in America, you get it. That's why, husband, your wife will not submit to you. She wants complete control. So it just runs throughout society. The people want a government when they want a government, when they need a government, but they don't want a government when things are going well and nobody's being shot and so forth. They want complete control. That's why they marched on march down the streets and crowds and waving all kinds of signs and doing all kinds of weird things. Everybody wants complete control, independence of God and of everybody else. Is the cause of so much stress in our lives. Life is a struggle. But what most people don't realize is that our struggle, like Jacob's, is really a struggle with God, not with others. We want to be God. And there's no way we are going to win that struggle. Amen, somebody. A.W. Tozer said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress in life is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders. we're still trying to be shot callers and interfering with God's work within us. Can somebody be honest and say amen? We aren't God and never will be. We are humans. It is when we try to be God that we end up most like Satan, who desired the same thing, and that's why he was kicked out of the glorious heaven. And now he's raising hell on earth. We accept our humanity intellectually, but not emotionally. When faced with our own limitations, we react with irritation, anger, bitterness, and resentment. We want to be taller, or we want to be shorter. The other day, we were out and about and passing out gospel tracts, and just so happened we were in front of a tanning salon. And, of course, as you can tell, I'm beautifully black. No one can deny that. And I just, we were going to pass the track out to this lady, and I just stuck my head in the door. I said, is it possible for me to get a tan? And she just burst out laughing like I thought she would. And we went in and gave her a gospel tract to read after that little moment of levity. And my point is, we got white folks who want to be black. We have black folk who are still, in these modern times, using all kinds of creams to be lighter. I saw Sammy Sosa the other day. He took so many drugs and steroids. He was black as 12 midnights at one time while he was playing baseball. And now he's white as the moon. But he can still salsa. He can still dance. As he was dancing with his, I hope his wife, I don't know. But he's white as the moon. He used to be black as 12 midnights. People are taking all kinds of medication. Michael Jackson, handsome young man, I would assume. When I was lost and on my way to hell, one of the last concerts I went to before I got saved was a Michael Jackson concert. That's when he was black. After I got saved, he turned white. You got people who want to be taller, some shorter, some smarter, some stronger, some want to be more talented, some more beautiful and wealthier. We want to have it all and do it all, and we become upset when it doesn't happen for us, because it never happens for anybody that way. It just seems that way. And they have publicists. You don't. You don't have Kim Kardashian, Russell Wilson's wife, and Serena all across the internet on multiple sites by accident showing their little babies. That's all by design. They probably have the same publicist. You don't have a publicist. That does not mean that does not mean they are happy. We hope they are. But next week they might be in the paper for a negative reason. They're breaking up. They're getting a divorce. So then when we notice that God gave other characteristics we don't have, we respond with envy, we respond with jealousy, And watch this, we respond with self-pity. And we have many people that way today, including Christians. Poor me. And let me say to some of you sad, poor me, self-pity Christians, stop going to Facebook. Shut your Facebook page down, because 1,000 people are going to come on today telling you how wonderful life is for them. Taking pictures in front of fake beaches, taking pictures in front of their own pool, lying and saying it's in Jamaica, and all, and got you all depressed, defeated, and disgusted, and envious, when you are sitting at home with your robe on, and you dare not take a picture. And they're going to send a baby of their cute baby, send a picture of their cute baby, their wonderful little baby. And most babies are pretty and cute and so forth, okay? And you don't have a baby. They're going to send you a picture of their wedding dress and an invitation for you to be a bridesmaid again for the 13th time. And you don't have a husband. And they're showing you a million-dollar dress that they know they're not going to buy, but they're just messing with you. They're going to wear their mama's dress for free. So get off Facebook, get off Twitter, get off Instagram, and get on to God and reading the Word of God, and improving yourself, getting an education, and doing what you know God wants you to do. And stop looking at that and thinking that way. Be that as it may, let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this wonderful time together. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd forgive us of our sins. Help us to repent of our sins. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And help us to change. Help us, Lord, to stop trying to be you. And to understand that we need to humble ourselves as humans. And trust in you. And depend upon you. And be led by you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and the result of your sin, eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. You don't want to go there. Hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you this morning. While you have the blood running warm in your veins and air in your lungs, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, this is the best news you'll ever hear in your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, that is the sacrificial Lamb of God, meaning he took your place. You deserved the pain and the humiliation and the hell that he went through for you. But he took your place. His blood was shed for your soul, for your life. your eternal life. He died for your sins, for mine, was buried, and rose again. Believe that in your heart. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And pray and ask him to save you. And by his grace and mercy, he will. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, and not only saved from hell, saved to heaven. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time in history, shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved, saved from hell and saved to heaven. It's as simple as that. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. I would venture to say most people get saved outside of church. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to go to a confessional and talk to a priest to get saved. You don't have to do any good works to get saved. All you have to do is believe on the one who did the greatest works in the history of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. He did it all for you and for me. God's not going to accept what you do. He's only going to accept what his Son, Jesus Christ, did for us. So you need to get in him. You need to get on that train to heaven, the gospel train, the Jesus train, and be saved today by simply humbling yourself and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be glad to express that belief from your heart in a prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Mean it from your heart. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase. Many, many millions have been helped with this prayer to make sure they pray it right. You can pray it on your own, but you probably don't know what to say. Somebody helped me nearly 40 years ago. His name was Michael Lewis, and I've been helping others in the hundreds of thousands for years, and I'm willing to help you now. Follow me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner by nature and by choice, and I have chosen to sin against you through stealing, through lusting after people and things, and through lying and breaking your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. Based upon what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross so many years ago, being the Lamb of God who took away the sins, my sins, and the sins of the world. By dying on the cross for us, being buried, and then rising again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I believe in you, and I am asking you today to come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins and change. And help me to turn from my old sinful ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Here's my prayer.